The following audio is from Redemption Church. More information about our church can be found at www.redemptionchurchlacombe.org.
Let me encourage you to take your Bibles, whether it's in paper form or electronic, and turn me to the book of Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Today we are here to talk about the hope that comes as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We are gathered here today to hear about the hope that comes from the resurrection. And some of you are here today with joy because you know that you believe in the resurrection power of God and your hope is in Christ, that no matter what comes your way, you know that the resurrection power is for you and that gives you hope. But there's probably some of you in this room as well, out here in this tent, that may at one point may have had seemingly sincere hope, but maybe have lost the hope along the way. Maybe you've had a tragedy, maybe you've had difficulty, maybe something has happened that's disappointed you, maybe leaders that's caused you to lose hope in Christ, lose hope in God, and your hope has waned. Maybe some of you who are here today have come out of simply compliance so that someone would stop asking you over and over again. And you're here, and you could care less. And you really don't have much hope in the things that we talk about. But then there are some of you here that probably place hope in things that you know that over and over again, you're trying to find new hope. We put hope in temporary things. We put hope in families. We put hope in jobs. We put hope in things that are tangible for us. And then those things fall apart. And then we're trying to find a new hope again because that hope has failed us. I want you to hear today from God's Word that regardless of where you are in the spectrum, I really want you to get what God's Word says for you today. I want you to get that from the word that we're going to talk about today, that there is a true, lasting, and enduring hope. That if your hope has waned as a believer, I pray that God can be the one who can stir it up. Because hear me, I can't make you have hope. I can't make you have what I feel. Only God can do that. And my prayer this week and this morning and even in this very moment, that if you've come in here and you have no hope, I am praying that God would open your eyes to the greatest hope that's all possible through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and that you leave here a completely radically changed individual. And if your hope has waned, I am praying that the supernatural power of God will rejuvenate your hope once again. And whatever has caused you to be discouraged or depressed and that has given you a disillusionment to the resurrection power of God, I am praying that your hope could be renewed. And if you have that hope already, I am praying that simply the fan of the Spirit of God will stir your hope even greater than it is right now. That when you leave this morning, you are on fire for Christ. That your hope, listen, we have what we have. I am not talking about a God that's an entity that's in a box that's somewhere. We are talking about the resurrected Christ. The tomb is empty. Over 500 witnesses who saw him. The evidence is paramount to talk about the real resurrected Christ. So I'm talking about a supernatural God who can change your life. If you've not experienced it, it's not just something of a mentality or an ideology. When you experience it, it is something that lives inside of you and it changes you. It's not a hope of something that's just external. It's a hope that becomes internal and changes you externally as well. That's the hope that we're talking about today. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul makes it real clear. He has a strong prayer. He has a strong desire for the Christians that he's writing to understand about the blessings that come as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want you to see that today. Hear me. Paul was writing to believers and he praised them that they were growing in their faith and he praised them that they were growing in love to one another. But apparently some of them have forgotten about what they already have in Christ. How many of us at times are like that? We know who we are in Christ, but sometimes we just need someone to remind us of who we have and what we have in Christ. That was Paul's desire. He wanted them to realize, and it is my prayer today, There's three particular truths and blessings that he lays out that they have as a result or a cause of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says they can have hope. He says they can have riches in Christ. Not talking about monetary, financial. We're talking about the riches that we have in Christ. And he talked about the power that we have because of the resurrection. Hear this premise this morning. If Christ is not risen, you have no hope. If Christ is not risen, you have nothing in Christ. If Christ is not risen, you have no power at all, and you are of the most people to be pitied of all of the religions in the world. But I'm here to tell you, we don't have to be pitied. Because our resurrected Lord is what makes all of those things possible this morning. Let's look at the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 15. And here's the way we're going to talk about this morning. We're going to talk about the what. The what are these things that Paul in the Bible tells us that we have as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Then we're going to secondly talk about when do these things become for us. And thirdly, we're going to talk about how great they are. Now, if you're here this morning, now, believer, I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you this morning about what you have in Christ. The resurrection is for us, and the aspect of what the result is of what we got. But if you're here this morning and you've not placed faith in Christ, I want you to hear what you can have as a result of what Christ did on the cross for you. So these things that we're talking about. So if you're on the outside looking in and you're sitting here this morning and you know you've not surrendered, you know you've not placed faith in Christ, and you're sitting here and you're wondering, what is it for me that can happen in Christ? I want you to hear what you can have. You don't have to be on the outside looking in. You can be on the inside experiencing the very things that I'm talking about this morning. So my prayer is for all of us that right now as we begin to read this word, you say, God, what is it you want to say to me this morning? I'm not wanting you worried about your neighbor. I'm not wanting you worried about the person that you invited. I want you to hear what God has to say to you this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul was writing to the Christians at the church at Ephesus, and he begins with this prayer for them. As much as it was his prayer, it is my prayer for us as well, that we would get it, that our hope would be something that, listen, I'm not talking about just an idea that I want you to grab. I want to make that very clear this morning. I'm talking about something that is within us that happens when we believe in Christ. Let's read the text. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 15. We're going to read through verse 20 for now, and then we'll finish out that paragraph in just a moment. Paul says, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love towards all the saints." So those are two things that he's praising that they have. Their faith in Christ and their love. He's praising them for those things. But notice he says, "I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his power, of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his great might." And here's the connection to the resurrection: that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. Hear me, church. What he's saying is he's praying that they would know. They're growing as a Christian. They have faith and they have love. So if you're sitting here this morning saying, "I'm good," I want you to hear what Paul is saying. There's always room for growth in Christ. There's always room to be improving. You can't ever get enough Christ. You can't say, "I've arrived," and I will say, not possible. Because none of us are Christ. And so what Paul is saying is, hey, you've got great faith, you have great love, but I want you to know what you can have. Hope, riches, and power. And he says, it's because that he rose and that he is seated. Let's first of all talk about the hope. Many of us think of hope not like the Bible talks about hope. For you see, the way that we talk about hope in the world is something that's a possibility and not a certainty. The way the world looks at hope is different than the way the Bible talks about hope. The world talks about hope in a possibility. I hope I get this job. I hope I get up on time. I hope I get feeling better. I hope this. I hope my marriage gets better. I hope my kids do this. I hope. It's a possibility. But the way the Bible talks about hope is a certainty. Meaning this. When you talk about, "I hope I get that job," you say, "My hope is in Christ because he's going to provide for me." My hope is not just maybe I'll get better. My hope is I know that He's with me and He's going to make me better, or He's going to give me the strength to help me get better. So my hope is something that is certain, not something that is just possible. But look at this Bible again. When He talked about the hope that He's praying, that He wants them to understand that they have, the Bible talks about hope in two particular ways. Number one is future, and number one is present. Look at the text again. When He says there in verse 18, I want your eyes to be opened that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you. The hope that Christians have is that there is an eternal promise of a heavenly home. That is the hope that He tells us in regards to the future. Look up with me in the verses and look at verse 12, 13, and 14. There is an eternal hope that we know that we're called to, because sometimes things just get hard in this life, don't they? Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes there's a struggle. Sometimes it's just hard in the marriage or in the parenting or in the job life or your health. And it's just hard to make it. And Paul is saying there's always something to look forward to. There is a future hope. Look at it in verse 12, 13, and 14. So that we who were the first to what? Hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you also, when you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our, what? Inheritance until we acquire possession of it. Let me put that in language we understand. Paul is saying, when you put your hope in Christ, the very first time, He gives us the Holy Spirit. And as a result of that, there's a guarantee of the eternal possession of heaven. That's the eternal hope that He's saying, look, you're growing your faith and you're growing your love, but how many of us, if we honestly admit it, our focus sometimes is not on eternal, our focus is on the present. And the situations that we go through, our circumstances, they just drag us down. And what Paul is saying is, I want you to know that you have an eternal future hope. But hear me. But because there's a future hope, that makes the present hope even more real. What if Paul says, I hope maybe that you will get there? That means that your present hope would be pitiful. So what's the present hope? It's right there in verse 12. Look at it again. We who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the what? To the praise of His glory. So the present hope is this. We are in Christ. So my present hope is that I am in Him. And the fact that I am in Him, He has saved me and made me be in Him. And the fact is, He's going to save me and He's going to make me be to the praise of His glory. Meaning, so my hope is this. My hope is that there is something that's permanent, and because I know it's permanent, I know that He is with me in the present. And if Christ is the one who is resurrected, He's seated at the right hand, and we know that He is permanently there. Follow my logic here. If He's permanently at the right hand of the Father, and I am in Christ, and He's victorious, my hope in the present is I have a victorious Christ in me that's victorious in the present. Are y'all with me? Come on, come on, come on. The fact that He's victorious and that He rose again and He's at the right hand of the Father, that risen Christ, that my hope is in Him, He is in us. So whatever I face in this life, my hope is not just in my abilities. My hope is not just in my family. My hope is not just in my job. My hope is not in my wealth, because honestly, sometimes all those things fall to pieces. And if your hope is in those things, your hope is in a temporary thing that will fail you. Pastors fail you. Churches fail you. But Christ will never fail you. Let me illustrate this way. If you ever run a race, there's a finish line. But imagine with me that you have a futuristic ability to know that you're going to win that race. That would be glorious. And so as you're running the race, people trip you up, you get skint knees, and you just get back up and you keep running. Skint knees. Because you know, even though they tripped you and even though they made you fall, you know somehow, you don't know how, but you're going to win. And so you just keep running. And then somebody else trips you up and then you stumble and you get back up because you know somehow, you don't know how, when you cross that finish line, you're the winner. And our race for Christ is the same way. Because we're running a race, when we get in Christ and we enter into the race, we know that the eternal hope is ours. So we will stumble. We will fall. Satan will cause us to trip. He will throw a temptation in your way and you will fall down, and he wants you to stay down. But I'm here to tell you that your hope is get up. Get up. Because you have a guaranteed eternal hope that you're going to cross the finish line. He's not going to leave you on the racetrack of faith. Your hope is permanent. So when you're struggling, come on church, when you're struggling, you can say, I'm going to win. So when Satan throws it back at you and you say, you failed, you say, it sure is, but I'm going to win. You just keep on going. Just keep on going. Whatever temptation he throws you, just get up. This is what Paul is saying to us as a church. The hope, he says there back in Ephesians chapter 1, I want you to know that you have this hope. It's present tense. Present tense. Now, the second thing he wants them to get, look at your Bible again, is not just that they have hope. He wants them to know, there it is again in verse 18, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you and what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Now what he's talking about here is not financial, monetary, glorious inheritance of the riches. But he's saying, I want you to understand who you are in Christ. What are his riches? Well, he lays it all out in chapter 1. Let's just look at a couple of them. Look back at chapter 1 and look at verse 3. Now, I don't know what your family life is like. I don't know what your family heirs have. I don't know what kind of inheritance you may have. Some of you may have a good inheritance. Some of you may not have anything. Here's what I want you to understand. Paul is saying that the inheritance of God is far greater than the inheritance of the world. And some of you in this room may feel like that you have nothing, you have no one, you have nothing in your life that you can hold to. I want you to understand what Paul is saying to you, what Paul says to me, what God's Word says to us, is we have a glorious inheritance because we are in Christ. So the inheritance that we have and the riches that we have is because we belong to Him. Because hear me, many people who come to faith in Christ have no other family members who are believers. And so they're like by themselves. They're alone and they're isolated and they feel that everything is against them. I want you to know today that the riches that you have in Christ are insurmountable and not even able to be able to measure it. And so when you are in Christ, you have great riches. What are those riches? Look at me, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. How many spiritual blessings? How many? Every spiritual blessing. Every one of them. Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. That's one of the riches that you have. If you are saved, I want you to get this notched in your brain. Before the foundation of the world, He chose you. So when you think that you're nothing, I want to remind you that before the world was even spun on its axis, He chose you. So if you think that you have no place and that no one loves you, I want you to know that God, before the foundation of the world, before the earth was spun on its axis, He chose you. Right now, He chose you. And then not only did He choose you, but notice what He says in verse 5. He predestined us for, what's the next word? Adoption. That means this. We were orphans. And we didn't have family. And through Christ, He brought us into His family. He brought us into His kingdom. Understand, everybody in this tent this morning, you are in a kingdom. You are either in the kingdom of Satan or either you're in the kingdom of God. And when we come into Christ, He rescues us. He brings us out of the kingdom of darkness and He places us into His kingdom and He gives us a permanent, eternal adoption. Understand, the Roman culture of that day, the law of adoption was far different than what we can understand. There was actually legality that actually protected people, children who were adopted more so than even birth citizens. Once someone was adopted, you could not undo that citizenship. It was a permanent citizenship. And that's what Paul uses. He's saying, when God chose you, He adopted you, meaning He gave you a permanent citizenship. So when you are in Christ, He's not going to throw you away. And the third thing he talks about is the power that we have. Look at it again. Back to Ephesians chapter 1. He wants them to know about the hope. He wants them to know about the riches. And he wants them to look at verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe? Now I want you to get this one. This is what's going to make all of these possible. You understand what he's saying about power is what's going to make you understand the hope and the riches that you have. Because if this one doesn't happen, there is no hope, there are no riches. What is the power? He's saying, look at it again, what is the immeasurable greatness? Immeasurable, meaning you cannot measure the power. There is no scale. There is no particular thermostat. There is nothing, no particular way to measure how great he is. But hear it. Look at what he says. The power that you and I have, what type of power is it? The power towards us who believe according to the working of his great might that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Get it? The same power that God used to raise Jesus from the dead is the same power that you and I have when we are in Christ. What does that mean? That means this, that there is nothing that you face that is insurmountable, that is impossible for God to overcome. If He can raise Christ from the dead, you tell me right now, what are things that's greater than death? Nothing. Nothing. And that's what Paul is saying. We as Christians oftentimes live with our head hung low, feeling like we're the most defeated individuals. And I want to tell you that today, because the resurrection that happened 2,000 years ago, you should be the most victorious individual that's alive. Because the resurrection, that power here, again, listen to me. This is not something that is just external saying, I want to grab it. No, no, no. This is something that Paul is saying is in us already. So let's talk about the when. When do we get these great things? When do we get hope? Because honestly, sometimes some of you in this room may feel like you don't have hope. You don't have any power. You feel like you're particularly worthless and you've come in here defeated and discouraged. Now here's what I want you to understand. When do we get this power? When do we get this hope? When do we get these riches? And it comes at the moment. Listen to me. The moment you believe in Christ, these things are placed in you. So even this morning, if you are a Christian and you don't feel them, I want to tell you, if you're in Christ, they're in you. They are in you. Let me prove it to you. Look back to chapter 1, verse 12. How do I know that these hope and these riches and Christian, this power is in us? Because look with me at verse 12. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. Remember what we read about? It says the same power that's in Christ that raised Him from the dead is the same power He's working towards us. But how do we know it's in us? Verse 13. In Him you also heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. You know what Paul is saying? You know who lives inside of us the moment that we believe? Who, church? The Holy Spirit! The Holy Spirit is part of the triune God. And so what He's saying is the same God who rose Jesus up from the dead is giving to you. Listen, I think that's the greatest news about what the gospel is you get God. So here's the thing. The hope that we have and the riches that we have and the power that we have is in us. It's in you. I want you to say, you say, well, how in the world? Why is it I feel defeated? Why is it I feel like I have no hope? Why does it feel like I have no riches? Why does it feel like I have no power? And I tell you why. Paul answers that question. Look with me at verse 19 again. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who, say with me, now He's not talking about getting saved and then getting it. He's already talking to Christians. So the belief that He's talking about here is not an initiation of a confession into Christ. He's talking about an ongoing belief to tap into the supernatural power of God. So if I am waning in my hope, and I'm waning in my understanding of who I am, my identity in Christ, and I'm waning in the power that I have, there's a great self-evaluation question you need to ask yourself. If you are not spending time with God, you're not spending time in the Word, and spending time in the Word and in prayer, I can tell you almost 100,000 times percent, you will feel powerless, you will feel helpless, and you will feel like you have no riches at all. Paul is saying that if you are drawing nearer to God and that you're continually to place faith in Him, something happens supernatural in us. The Holy Spirit is in us and He begins to stir up that hope that's in us. He begins to stir up that value, that understanding of who I am in Christ. He stirs up that power that I have. So when the temptation is coming my way and I'm growing in Christ, then He reminds me of the truths of the Word of God. When I am facing difficulties and I face a hardship and I face a diagnosis that seems to be impossible and I'm growing in my faith with Christ, He stirs it up in me and He tells me, you have hope in Christ. You have power to overcome these things. The Spirit of God who is in me. The Spirit of God is the one who teaches me. The Spirit of God who is the one who encourages me. The Spirit of God who is the empowerment. As I'm growing in those things, He is saying to me, you can do these things. And so I'm reaching out. I'm not reaching up to grab something. I'm reaching in. I'm reaching in to what's already here. That's the hope that we have, church. And so if you're here this morning and your hope has waned and you feel powerless, what you need to do is press in to the Lord. Even if you feel discouraged, even if you have questions, listen to me. God is big enough to handle your questions. Throw them at Him. And He's big enough to stir the hope in you again, to give you the power to overcome it. You say, Pastor, you have no idea what I'm going through. And I will turn it back to you and say, you tell me what's greater than death. Because that's the victory that we have. He is great. Now understand something. This is not something that is external. Because notice how Paul prayed for them. Look at the Bible again. Look at verse 18. He told them, these are things they already had. Having the eyes of your hearts enlightened that you may know. That you may know the hope to which He has called you. Here are the tense of that. He's not praying that God would call them. He's saying God has already called you to the hope. And then the second thing, he talks about the glorious inheritance that you have in Christ. He's not saying, I want you to get it. He's saying, you already have it. And he's talking about the power. He says, for the power that Christ has already worked in you. But notice the word that he uses. I'm praying that you would what? Know. Your mind is critical in the walk of Christ. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Your ignorance to the truths of God is the victory for the enemy. Hear what I'm saying. Your ignorance to the truths of God is the victory for the enemy. What do I mean by that? If the enemy comes to you when you sin, and I promise you, everyone in this tent is going to sin. Everyone in this room is going to fail sometimes. And sometimes we blow it big. And when that happens, the enemy can lie to you and he can say you can't be a believer. He's going to say to you, God can't forgive you. And if you're not grounded in the truth of God's Word, that you know that you're already in Christ and that God can forgive you, so when you turn to confession to Him and that He will empower you to live, if you don't know those truths, you will live powerless. You got it? So what we understand, this is what I'm saying to us, the more that you press into the Lord, I promise you, the more that you spend time with Him, the more that you're in His Word, and the more that you are with Him, the resurrection power of Christ who is in you is going to empower you to overcome your addiction, to overcome your marriage difficulty, to overcome your financial troubles, to overcome your job issues, because the power of God is in you. And so because the power of God is in me, how does this connect to hope? It connects this way. If Christ, who rose from the dead, and that power is living in me, then I know my hope is not in a dead God. My hope is in a resurrected, powerful, mighty, supernatural God. And that same power is in me. So even if it's a journey of difficulty that I will walk for months or for years, I can walk it knowing that I'm going to get to the end because He promises me my hope is secure. Cured in Him. So walk it. Struggle with it. Fight with Him. Know that the power of God is there to help you. And so your hope is not on the ground. Your hope is in heaven. Your hope is there because He's at the right hand of the Father. So Christian, live victoriously. I want to illustrate this way for you this morning. Many of us as Christians need to be reminded of this truth this morning because many of you, I want you to hear, you've been living hopeless. You've been living powerless. You've been living thinking you are nothing to the kingdom. Just as Paul reminded them, he says, I want you to know this is what you have in you. And maybe you're here this morning and God is using this very text to remind you of those very truths. And also you may have felt that experience that when you first came to Christ and it's waned. And maybe today God's reminding you through the Word of God what you already have in Him. And maybe today it's just simply saying, God, forgive me for believing the lies of the enemy. God, I claim the truths of the Word of God and I'm going to live for you. Maybe that's what you need to do. I want to illustrate this way. Imagine with me, we're in a dark room and this lamp is in our room. How many of you have tried to get up in the middle of the night and walk in a room when it's dark? Didn't always turn out so well, does it? Broken toes, stubbed toes, bent knees, whatever it may be. And all the time you know there's a light switch on the wall or a lamp. And so we think, no, my memory is good. I know that that stool is right there, not knowing that your children moved it right before you went to bed. Word? And so we think, oh, I know where things are. And then after you have stepped on things and stumbled and fallen, and you realize, man, I'm just going to turn on the light. And then you turn on the light and you realize there's bombs all over the floor. But the reality was, the lamp was already connected to the power. You didn't have to plug it up. It was already there. All you had to do was turn the switch on. And you and I are connected to the greatest power source in the world. It's in you. Tap into it. Stop living in your own power. Stop living in your own ability. Stop depending on self. Self will not get you where it needs to go. Your abilities will get you so far. Your personality and your etiquette, all those things. But the power of God, we are connected to that through Christ. And so all we need to do is be reminded who we are in Christ. So when do we get it? When we believe in Him, one of those great riches, hope, the riches of who we are in Christ, and power. How great are these things? How great are they? Oh, look at the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1 again. Verse 19. What is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places. How great is this? How great is this? He's saying that Christ, He didn't just rise again, He sat down. And according to kingship in the Scriptures, that means that His work was finished. So when He sat down, that meant everything that He's done was not an incomplete work. So today, you don't have to wonder, is my hope just partially going to be in Christ because He's got more to do? No, the Bible is saying that He rose again and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And that same power is at work in us. And so He's telling us, what is He over? Everything. Look at it. Verse 20, that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Do you know what He's talking about here? This power, dominion, authority that He's referring to here in verse 21 is the same language that He uses in Ephesians chapter 6 when He talks about the spiritual forces that come against us, the demons that come against us. And what the Scripture is saying here, Paul is saying that He rose Christ from the dead and He seated Him above every rule and authority and power. So here's what I'm saying. How great is this power? How great is this hope? And how great are the riches? It's this great. That means that there is nothing that Satan can throw your way that Christ is not over. He is over all those things. So when He throws it your way, and He will do it, He will throw the darts your way. He will throw the temptations your way. And you can live victoriously. Listen to me. The only power and victory the enemy has over you is what you give him. because Christ has defeated him. Remember that illustration about the race? We're running the race. If this is the finish line of heaven and eternity, I know that I'm going to cross it, and I know that God is going to get me there. Satan knows he's not going to win. But that does not mean that he's not going to fight me the entire way until I finish this race. You need to be prepared mentally that you have the power, you have the hope, you have the riches in Christ, and you need to know that your archenemy is going to fight and kick and struggle with you until your last breath on this earth. But when those temptations come, you live in the victory and the power that He has. So here's what I'm telling you. Some of you in this room are struggling with addiction. Some of you are struggling with things that nobody else knows about. And I want to tell you that if you are in Christ, He is able to kick those things. He is able. You say, "You don't know me, Pastor." Then you are not trusting in the power of the resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm here to tell you, the marriage that needs to be fixed, the child that's wayward that needs to be drawn back, the job loss that you have, the financial need that you have, the health that you need to be fixed, the power of Christ, He is above all those things. There's not one thing that you can throw at Him that He cannot solve. And if He chooses not to solve the financial situation immediately, if He chooses not to heal you from the diagnosis that you have, it is His power then to help you through the struggle until the solution comes. And then, what's the last thing that He is over? Please notice with me in verse 22. God put all things under Jesus' feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I want to try to explain this the best that I can. The building is not the church. Those who have repented and placed faith in Christ are the church. And when Jesus rose again and seated at the right hand of the Father, Paul is saying that God also put Him over the church, and all the fullness of Christ, he's saying, is given to the church. So what he's saying is this: all the glory and the splendor and the majesty of the greatness of Christ has been given to be put on display through you and me. So we need to realize that if we're living powerless and we're living victoryless and we're living with no hope, then what we're displaying to the world is there's not a resurrected Christ. What we want to display to the world is not some superficial pretend hope or superficial pretend power or superficial riches. What I'm saying to those of us is this: if we are genuinely in Christ and we're walking in Christ, the resurrected Christ who sit at the right hand of the Father, who has filled all things in Him and He's given to the church, what He's saying is He wants His glory to be put on display through us. How great that is that He wants to do that. He wants to put His glory on display through you. So I ask you the same question here as I asked at the beginning. Where is your hope? Who is your hope in, or what is your hope in? If your hope is in the resurrected Christ, and you are on fire for Christ, and your power is in Christ, and you are on the right track, then I encourage you to keep pressing on and keep turning into Christ. But if your faith, your hope, your power has been waning, today I plead with you, I encourage you, press into Christ and believe that what you have once felt, that He can do so again, that He can stir up in you again, because if Christ is in you, He is not dead, He's living, His supernatural power is in you, He can come alive in you again. If you're here this morning, and you know that through the hearing of this word, you know that you have no hope, you have no power, and you've tried to be a Christian, but you've done it on your own terms, and you've tried to work your way, and you know that Christ is not in you. But here's what I'm saying. If Christ is in you, you know He's in you. And if this morning, if you're sitting here and you know that you have not repented, and you don't have this faith, how do you get this hope? Paul addresses it Let's look at it again. It's verse 12. So that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be to the praise of His glory. In Him, you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. How do you get this hope? How do you get these great riches? And how do you get this great power? You must believe. You've heard the gospel. Now it's time to either make a choice. I don't believe what Pastor Byron says, or I believe the power of the Word of God, and I want the hope. I want the riches. I want the power. I want it today. And I'm saying today, you can do so. Under this tent can be a life-changing thing. On April 16th, 2017, from this point forward, you can draw a line in the sand and you say, I don't know if I am a Christian. I don't know if I am a Christian. Maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. If you are so uncertain, why do you live in uncertainty? That's exactly where the enemy wants you to be. Today, man, woman, child, teenager, senior adult, wherever you are listening by streaming, if you don't have this hope in Christ, if you don't have this power in Christ, I want to tell you today, today can be your day. You deny yourself and you call out to the resurrected Christ. Say, God, I believe that you rose Jesus Christ from the dead, and I believe that you are the Son of God, and I believe that although my life is a mess, I believe that you can forgive me. The Bible says you confess it with your mouth, believe in your heart, God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. And in that moment, power is given to you, hope is given to you, riches are given to you, and you become a part of the kingdom of God. If you need to do that, child, if you do that, teenager, you do that, adult, let today be today. In a moment, we'll have people that are here standing to receive you. You can come forward and say, I want to choose to follow Christ. I surrender my life to Christ. I want Him to be my King. My hope has been other things, but today, my hope is in Christ. I invite you to come. Surrender your life to Christ. And believer, if you've been waning, you've been struggling, and you've been limping along in your faith, I'm telling you, it's time to run! Run in Christ! Stop limping! There's power, there's hope, and there's riches. Quit trying to do it in your own ability. He wants to give you wings like eagle. He wants you to soar in the Christian faith because He wants His glory. He wants His glory to be known in Lacombe, in Abita Springs, in Mandeville, in Slidell, in Covenant, and around the world. And He can do a great work through you and through me because the power is in us. We just got to let it be known. Maybe run. Obey what God has called you to do. If you know that you've been limping, today's the day. Draw a line in the sand and say, Satan, you are not my king. Christ is my king. I live in the power and the glory of the resurrected Lord. I walk today. I rebuke in the name of Jesus Christ, and I believe the truths of God. Live with power. Live with hope, because it is in you. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the resurrection, hope, riches, and power that we have because of the risen Son. God, if there are any in this room that have come in here and they've been limping in the race of faith, they've not been consistently believing, walking in the faith, and then today, God, I pray that you help them to repent of the wrong or the lackadaisical or apathetic attitude and walk that they've had. And today is the day, God, that you would give them the faith to turn from those things and to turn to you. God, I pray for that believer who is pressing in, who's faithful to walk with you, and they are in your word, they're spending time with you, they're spending time in prayer, and God, I pray that you just continue to encourage them and protect them from the enemy. But God, I pray for those in this tent right now, that through the Spirit of God and the conviction that you have given through yourself to them, that you have revealed that they are not in you and that Christ is not in them, and today's the day that you are calling them to salvation, then today, God, just let, like Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, Lord, let this be the case. Let those individuals cry out to you. They've heard the gospel. Let them believe in you. And then, God, may you give them yourself through the Holy Spirit. Whether it's a child, teenager, man or woman, oh God, may the resurrection power be alive in these people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we stand, we're going to have an opportunity to respond to the truths of God's Word. I will be here. Jared, our youth pastor, will be here. And John will be here as well. If you need to come for prayer, you come. If you need to come for salvation, you want to call out to Him for hope, you come. If you're a believer that you've been limping along in your faith, I want to invite you to come. Let us pray with you. Maybe you got some struggles or issues. Let us know so we can pray for you. Obey what God has called you to do. If you need Christ, come. Repent and believe. Place faith and hope in the gospel. And let the power of God live in you. Let's sing to Him.